And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? Hope you all are having a good night, good day, good week, whenever you're tuning in, whether it's live or on demand. This is RBLR Bucks. I am Carter Brantley, and I am joined by my two wonderful co-hosts, Mr. Zach Blaine and Mr. Tyler Rosallo. Zach, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
You know, we're back. It's good to be here. It's only a one-week thing for this week. I'll be gone again next week. But, you know, I'm excited to be here and talk some football with you guys.
Heck yeah, yeah. And it's a fun week, you know. It's still preseason football. There's still enough stuff to talk about without it being too serious or overwhelming. So, you know, we'll have some fun, have some laughs, hopefully. I don't think any of us are drinking or anything, so maybe no beers. But, you know, maybe after the show, I guess. But there you go. Absolutely. I'll drink a swig of water just in that spirit. Mr. Rosallo, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I am hanging in there. We are syllabus week in it, so
it's been, oof, that's right.
Quite busy. Yeah. They don't really do syllabus week anymore, though. It's we're talking about 15 minutes of, you know, going over what the class is going to look like, and we're jumping straight in. So it's been a little unexpected, honestly.
Yeah, I will say all you meddling kids are making it hard for me to get in and out of my job. So
my
that's
God,
kind of
the parking is atrocious.
Bruh, yeah. Yeah.
It took me 30 minutes to find parking near the library yesterday.
That's brutal. That's brutal. Yeah, I don't leave for lunch anymore. I just park, and then I am there. I am either going to the Marshall Center, or I am just not eating lunch. That's my standard operating procedure at this point. But regardless, we are not here to talk about our lives at USF, but go Bulls. We're here to talk about some Bucks football. Week two, preseason just happened. They played Kansas City, and they took away another win. So they're 2-0 in preseason, which, you know, take that with a grain of salt. What the heck does that even mean? Probably nothing. But any overarching takeaways that y'all had from this game? Zach, I'll start with you, man. Were there any things that stood out in this game? Anything that made you raise your eyebrow or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, nothing necessarily stood out more than the next, outside of, I think that Daniels is one of the most fun players to watch on this team. Like, and we're not going to get to see him in the regular season, but he is by far the most fun player to watch this season.
Yeah, he's a reason to tune into these games. Like, no joke. No joke. That's a very real thing. And we're going to talk about his place on the roster, like where he fits in a little bit. But, yeah, that's definitely been a big takeaway for me. We'll talk a little bit about Sean Tucker too, because that's kind of an interesting storyline that I've heard. Is he going to stick around? Is he going to be cut? You know, so we'll talk about that too, because that stood out for me. Like, if a guy's getting that many carries, then, you know, maybe they're auditioning him for other teams, trying to give him the grace to have some looks for other teams, but we'll see how true that is. But Jalen Daniels, definitely really super fun guy to watch. Mr. Vasallo, anything that stood out to you from this game?
The defense ultimately looked really good again. Backups versus backups, but I was fairly impressed. Reuben Bain looked incredible in the very few snaps he got. David Walker again looked like a game wrecker. That defensive line especially, it just, oh boy, they got some depth right now, which is crazy to say.
Yeah,
you know, not something I would have said even 6 months ago, but
No,
certainly looks like they've got some dudes.
Yeah, they've got some dogs for sure. It's crazy to think that we went from last season, like, having to say, oh, well, can Anthony Nelson be an outside linebacker number two, or is Hassan Reddick going to be the guy? And it's like, no on both counts. And now Anthony Nelson is, like, outside linebacker five, and that's perfect. Like, he's a very good fifth outside linebacker. Yeah, that is exactly where he needs to be. And he actually had a pretty good – I think he had at least one sack from this past weekend.
He's had a sack in both games now.
He's had a sack in both games.
Which is fun, you know. He had
a single sack.
Right. Well, you know, David Walker's going to – you know, he'll get there. But, I'm really excited about this defensive line. In fact, I wrote an article today for Bucks Report that kind of went into that a little bit, because, man, the front seven – It's not like the best in the NFL, but it went from like being below average at best last year to like being at least average, if not above average, especially the defensive line now that they've extended Vea. So that's going to be really a really fun storyline to monitor. But Jalen Daniels, like Zach said, he is kind of the reason to tune into these preseason games. With all of that being said, how realistic is he for QB2? Like, I think of him still as probably being like QB3, maybe a practice squad guy. Although I do genuinely think he has a shot to make the roster, just more so because they put him on the practice squad. I think he might get snatched up. Like, I think another team maybe picks him up. So I don't know that to be true, obviously. Like, but regardless, Tyler, do you think that Jalen Daniels has a realistic shot of making this team, or do you think we're kind of making a mountain out of a molehill here?
I mean, you know, from the myopic view of a Bucks fan in the preseason, obviously I'm not going to watch hardly any other games.
Right, of course.
Maybe he's been one of the more impressive quarterbacks in this preseason.
Yeah,
it's him and Drew Aller that I've been hearing about.
Right, Drew Aller
didn't even play that well.
Carson Beck was good week one too. Obviously, he didn't play last week, but Carson Beck looked really good week one.
He did look good week one as well.
He looked solid.
I think he's still probably the third quarterback just because Browning has the experience. Browning did not look very good in that game.
No,
a little bit concerning, honestly.
Yeah,
because a lot of those sacks, you know, were due to poor offensive line play, but also he's just got to get rid of the ball at some point. And so, you know, you question him whether Daniels will be able to make a move like that in the middle of the season. Obviously you don't necessarily want to be switching your quarterbacks, but they did carry three quarterbacks last season. Bazlack stayed on the roster the whole season, I believe. I'm almost certain Daniels gets picked up if they cut him.
Yeah, if they cut him for sure. And I think it's a very realistic possibility for him to be quarterback three. And I wonder, because I would love to hear y'all's thoughts on this, because, Browning had that injury in week one, which is what led to Daniels playing for most of the game. I wonder if maybe he's feeling a little bit of the heat, if he's kind of sweating a little bit. And so maybe he's not 100%, but he's like, man, this guy is kind of coming for my job right now. I wonder if he's playing a little bit hurt, if he's playing a little bit banged up. Zach, do you maybe give credence to that theory? Also, maybe do you not even care, like Jalen Daniels should just be quarterback too?
Yeah, I mean, I am of the opinion that the backup quarterback should be someone that brings the energy up if it comes down to it. Like, if he's coming in, usually that would mean Baker's hurt.
Right.
And I just think the ceiling is so much higher with Jalen Daniels. And it's like when he comes in and it's like the whole tide of the game switch. We hadn't scored a touchdown until Jalen Daniels came in.
Right. Like, yeah.
It's stale until Jalen Daniels came in. So it's I'm experience wise, sure, you want Jake Browning there. But if I'm being completely honest, if Jake Browning or Jalen Daniels are playing, our odds are
slim. Right. Yeah, you're kind of screwed anyways. Yeah.
So in my opinion, I'm taking Daniels all day. I think he's played well enough to be QB2. I mean, and we're talking about like the experience of Jake Browning. Like, he doesn't have experience in the Tampa playbook.
That's true. Yeah.
Played it
right.
Since
that's a good point.
Like, if we think about it in those terms, they've got the same amount of experience in Tampa.
Yeah. So now I have a question for you, Zach, and you might disagree or you might agree with this take. I think if Baker Mayfield goes down for a game or two, I think Jake Browning's quarterback too. If Baker Mayfield experiences a season-ending injury, I think Jalen Daniels is then quarterback too. Does that make sense? Like, if you have,
and I don't think you're wrong, because I think I do think that Jake Browning is the safer play.
Right. I think Browning comes in if there's still a chance for the Bucks to like float just for a few games.
Baker sprains an ankle and like we need him for a half or a six quarters.
Right. Yeah.
I'm bringing in Jake Browning. He's the safer play. He'll make the smart. Yep. Hazel got a cut. She didn't really. She's doing a scratch color. Oh. Thing.
She got a cut, and some guys are going to get cut pretty soon.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah, playing into the theme.
I am on the train of thought that we keep Jalen Brown Jalen Daniels. I'm talking
Jalen Daniels. Sure. No good. No worries.
We keep Daniels as QB2 and keep Browning on the roster. I do think you have to run three quarterbacks on this team because, like Tyler said, you cut Daniels because he's got to go through waivers before you even put him on practice squad.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You cut Daniels, he's getting picked up. I don't think there's a shot he makes it to the practice squad.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's so many teams that could justify taking a shot on him, like whether it's the Jets or whether it's the Vikings, or there's just a countless amount of teams.
He can genuinely be QB1 on Atlanta right now.
I don't even necessarily disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't either, but, man, that's a tough thing to say.
Atlanta, but fully Atlanta could use him as QB1. The Jets are not far off from him being the best QB in that room. Like, there's multiple teams that need a quarterback upgrade, and I think Jalen Daniels is showing. Dude, he's got one of the strongest arms I've seen in a long time. Like, watching him throw, and it's so pretty. It's on target. Like, I genuinely think he could be one of those guys that in 5 years we're talking about, how was he an undrafted guy?
I hope so. That would be one of the coolest stories. And obviously, hopefully in a Bucs uniform, you know, that'd be really awesome. But yeah, that would be one of the cooler stories in football, like going from undrafted free agent to like a starting quarterback. That in and of itself, even if he's never like a Pro Bowl level guy. Before. Yeah, I mean it's really it would be really impressive. There you go. Yeah. Regardless, it would be a really fun storyline, and hoping for the best for him. Obviously, like hopefully it's in a Bucs uniform, but even if not, it would be cool to see him have success wherever he ends up, because then you can say, hey, he started out as a Buck. Remember when he was killing it in preseason and in 2026, and you know, that can be fun. That can be a fun thing too. We kind of talked to this Jalen Daniels story to death, but there are other things going on with the Bucs right now. One of them, as I mentioned previously, Sean Tucker. Kind of on the fringes of the roster right now. There's kind of some questions. Greg Allman, friend of the show, he's been on the show before. He posted a little mini thread sort of about how the Bucs could consider moving on from him because they did not sign him to I forget the exact verbiage or whatever, but it's basically that it's not a fully guaranteed $3 million deal, and $3 million is a lot of money for RB3. Yes, the tender. Thank you, Zach. Yeah, I knew it was Try a Little Tenderness, the Otis Redding song. But, you know, it's an interesting thought process, because if Bucky Irving goes down, then it's just Kenneth Gainwell and Sean Tucker. And that's not good, but it's not awful. Whereas if you cut Sean Tucker, then it's just Kenneth Gainwell. I like Kenneth Gainwell. He's a fine pass catching running back. But if he's your, you know, first two down running back, then that's probably not great. So what are your thoughts on this, Zach? I know you're a big running back guy. Do you think it would be a huge mistake to let Sean Tucker walk? Or are you kind of not worried about it?
I do think it's a mistake, because it's one of those situations where I think if he goes somewhere, he can be a starter. So it's I want that for him. I genuinely think Sean Tucker is a really good running back.
Yeah.
I'm doing my show. I need to shush. Okay.
Well, Hazel thinks he's really good too. That's what she's chiming in with. Yeah.
Yeah. But I genuinely think he's a good running back. It's just we've always had – since he's come in, we've always had a running back one.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So he's not gotten that shot to play running back as a starter.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough.
But, yeah, and then we got – what, Josh Williams is his name? Is
yeah, the second-year guy. Got suspended, got popped for roids last year.
Yeah, you got popped for roids last year, and like that's who we're
wanting
to put faith in at running back. Like, we,
yeah,
I believe the Greg Allman thing said that essentially we could cut him and work out a cheaper deal.
But
if I'm Sean Tucker, why am I taking a cheaper deal? You didn't want me to get signed away. I signed the tender that you offered me. I would go play somewhere else if I were him, you know, if it came down to.
And it might be somewhere where he has more of a path to playing time. But then again, with the Bucs, like, he's he's RB3 in, like, technical depth chart purposes. But I think Bucky goes down, obviously, knock on wood. Hopefully that doesn't happen. I'm even wearing his shirt. Shout out Bucky's. You know, if he goes down, then Sean Tucker's the guy. You know, it's not the Kenneth Gainwell show in terms of, like, the every down. Like, you're always going to need two running backs, and especially when one of those running backs is Kenneth Gainwell, just because his value is as a pass catcher. So, you know, it's certainly an interesting conversation to be had. I'm kind of with you. I do think that it would be a mistake to let him go entirely, and they do run the risk by like you said, if they just let him walk, then he could very easily, you know, kind of chuck up the deuces or throw up the middle finger and say, hey, screw you guys, I'm going home, or, you know, he goes elsewhere. So, yeah, it's a tough thing. But Tyler, how about you? What's your take on the Sean Tucker of it all?
I for the last couple of years, I've went on out on a limb and said that Sean Tucker is the best third running back in the entire league.
Yeah, I think that's very accurate.
Leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
There are a few teams I think he would probably be able to start on as.
Like, yeah, like Zach was saying. Yeah,
which is crazy to say. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, is it great value to be investing $3 million in your third best running back?
Right.
No. But are we really hurting that badly for cap space right now?
I don't know. I don't think so.
What else do you need?
Right. What else are you going to spend it on at this point?
Right.
It's like Greg Gaines in the free agency pool right now. That's about it.
Oh, he's not even there anymore, brother. He's on the Bills.
I think he signed with Buffalo.
Didn't even know that.
Hey, if y'all aren't
up Greg on Gaines, your man, moving up in the world,
y'all aren't up on your Greg Gaines news. Yeah, Hassan Reddick might be back. No, I do see where y'all are coming from, because it's a catch 22 where, like, if you keep Sean Tucker at the price point that he's at $3 million, then a wide receiver gets hurt and you're stuck with, you know, Ted Hurst and Tez Johnson, and then at wide receiver three. But if you cut Sean Tucker loose and then you sign and you keep some cap space open, then the wide receivers don't get hurt and instead Bucky gets hurt. So it's like either way,
we'd have to have two wide receivers get hurt. We'd have to have Chris Godwin, J-Mac, and then we're working Ted Hurst. And
that's the thing.
Those first two names are pretty believable getting in.
Yeah, J-Mac and Chris Godwin.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's hard because Bucky Irving had all those injury concerns last year. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a hard conversation. Like, you want to maintain a little bit of cap flexibility, just in case, like, break glass in case of emergency type of thing. Like, if you really just experience, like, roster, just, you know, if you're experiencing a bunch of injuries at a certain position and you're just like, crap, we need to sign someone, it's always nice to have a little bit more cap flexibility. But like y'all are saying, like, for the most part, the roster's kind of set, and that includes Sean Tucker at his current price point. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's a tough thing.
That's the other thing to consider is, look what happened last year when Bucky got hurt.
Yeah, for sure. No, absolutely.
While I do think Gainwell is a better all-around running back than Rashad White, when he comes in, you know it's a pass, and when he's running, like, you're not really worried about it.
Yeah,
and when he's taking a handoff, you're not really worried about it, and that's kind of how I feel with Kenny Gainwell. I think he would be more successful than Rashad White was, but I still think that, like, you need that first two down running back, and I think that that's what Sean Tucker would be. God forbid Bucky gets hurt.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. I think even if it's not Sean Tucker, if it were someone else that they could find, then yeah, sure, great. But you know, are they going to find someone better than Sean Tucker in free agency or on the waiver wire or whatever? I don't know. I'll be curious to see, because, you know, at the end of every preseason, every team has to let guys go. Like, the Bucs are not alone. They are not unique in this situation. Like, there are other teams having to make these types of difficult decisions across their rosters. So I'd be curious to see if maybe the Bucs let go of Sean Tucker, but instead of turning to Josh Williams, maybe they're like, hey, this guy just got released by fill in the blank with whatever team. Like, I think we just saw, who's the Cardinals guy? Trey Benson, right? He just got waived. But he's got an injury designation. So I'm not saying that it would be him necessarily, but a guy similar to him, that it's like a name where you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. I know Michael Carter was released a few years ago by the Jets, and he kind of bounced around with teams. And we're not talking about stellar names here. We're not talking about LaDainian Tomlinson or anything, but, you know, these are fine depth guys. So, I don't know. We'll see. But go ahead.
I'm not sure that, like, you're going to find enough value out of a different running back at, like,
yeah, you know, it's a great point.
Like, what's the difference in the margin?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about like maybe a million and a half. I don't even know what the vet minimum is at this point.
Like, maximum 2 million.
Yeah,
maximum.
Yeah, it's either a 2 million or a million and a half. So we're talking about savings of a million and a half or 2 million here. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's weird. It's a it's an awkward spot. And, you know, it's Greg Allman's a very reputable source. Like, I'm not, but he could also just be talking theoretically. Maybe the Bucks aren't even having these conversations at all. Like, maybe we are kind of, like I said earlier, making a mountain out of a molehill. Maybe we're just kind of conjuring something up here.
And I think in the comments, I could be wrong, but I believe he said, I don't think it's likely. But
right. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure if that's exactly the wording, but I think he made it sound like this is all hypothetical, but theoretically, like, they could cut him. I don't think it'll happen, but they could, sort of a deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to cover all your bases as a, So like you have to report on this stuff because, hey, it was something that you saw, like he did get a lot of carries this past week. And that's can sometimes be a red flag. Every now and then you'll see that and you'll be like, ooh, huh, that's interesting. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it develops. We'll see if this becomes a story. Maybe it's a non-story. Maybe by week one, we're not even talking about the running back room because it'll just be Sean Tucker and Kenny Gainwell behind Mr. Bucky. So yeah, we'll see. But if you are looking to upgrade your wardrobe, similarly to the way the Bucks are upgrading their running back room or downgrading, I guess, if they cut Sean Tucker. But if you're trying to do the opposite of that, this is a really awful segue. But regardless, head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some really killer gear there. Everything Tampa Bay sports related, we've got you covered. And we'll even give you a promo code to celebrate week two of the preseason, another victory. That's Cannons, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type that bad boy in, get 10% off your entire order. We'd greatly appreciate it. All right, second half of the episode, we're going to be talking about the broadcasts because John Gruden was on and, you know, why not? So John Gruden mentioned a little bit of fun news bit, which, again, this is all speculative stuff. But he mentioned that he expects the Bucks and Baker Mayfield to agree to something. He says they're not as far apart as people think, which, will, you know, John Gruden, NFL insider, I don't know if that's actually what I would label him. But at the same time, it's still John Gruden. Like, he's not nobody. He's certainly, you know, a somebody. So, Zach, you're the Baker Mayfield guy. How much thought do you put into John Gruden? Do you think this is actually true, or are you kind of just like, John Gruden's just talking to talk?
No, I mean, I think it's been pretty obvious that they're not that far apart.
Right.
Money-wise, I think, again, it was the years, and we had talked back, 3 weeks ago about, like, ways that they could make it happen, and we're just us. Like, so I don't think that they're far off, and I would be shocked if we don't have a deal at the end of this year. Again, I think that a lot of things could change between now and the end of the season. If Baker goes out and falls out, like, now we're looking at maybe he's playing somewhere else because they're going to offer him an ungodly amount of money. Or he goes out and plays like trash, and then we're talking, Jalen Daniels is there for one next he's season. So in my head right now, I'm like, we're not far off, but I'm also trying to temper my expectations.
You don't want to get your heart broken.
And then be let down because he gets hurt or because it just doesn't work out.
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's always you can't disappoint yourself if your standards are at the floor. So, you know,
Exactly. Sure.
Yeah. It's a sad way to live, but I understand it because I do it myself sometimes.
That's kind of a deal.
for sure.
That's
I get you.
Bucks fan.
Right, that is kind of the Bucks fan perspective for the most part. But Mr. Vasallo, maybe you're feeling differently. Maybe you're like, oh man, John Gruden's full of it. Like, they're super far off from Baker. Like, there's no way they get a deal done. I don't know. I don't really know what to believe. But what were your thoughts on John Gruden's thoughts or comments on the broadcast?
I thought it was very interesting to just see John Gruden again in the public.
He's been making that slowly but surely comeback.
Interesting to see him creep back into the public.
Yeah, market. Into the zeitgeist. Yeah. He was at a USF men's basketball game last year. It was kind of fun.
I actually do remember that, yeah.
Go Bulls. Yeah, I was in the background of the video because I was in the press box. So, like, he took a little video. And if you pause it and you squint really hard and you look at the very left side of the camera, you're like, hey, who's that chubby white guy with kind of long hair? And that's me. exactly. I know that guy. No, because I'm such a recognizable figure. But but anyways, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. It was welcome. I was very interested to hear what he had to say. I think that he was kind of just saying the quiet part out loud of, you know, this was kind of all blown out of proportion.
And yeah.
It's, you know, a little bit silly for it to be taken so publicly to the media.
Right.
Because, in all honesty, like, they can't have been that far apart.
right,
in terms of initial offer, especially based on the reporting. It was only a difference of what, $10 million? I mean, only.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then it was really just the years that he had an issue with. And I think, you know, it was a valid concern on the Bucs side. And it was a valid concern on his side as well. I mean, wouldn't you want
security,
stability, especially
this might be, one of his last contracts that he ever signs.
It's true. It's true. And so, you know, take it with a grain of salt. I would trust Rondae Barber a little bit more than John Gruden if it was a Rondae Barber quote, because he actually works for the team.
Right.
But you know, maybe it would be even funnier if it was John Gruden saying, "Oh, they're so far apart. Baker Mayfield's never going to play a snap for the Bucs again," because right, John Gruden intends to go sign Baker Mayfield when he becomes a head coach inevitably again. That would be the ultimate cherry on top of this saga.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see what he does, because, man, him and Barstool, it's like a hand-in-glove fit. They seem to be very into each other. Which is, you know, hey, he's found a niche. I played flag football with his son. He went to one of my flag football games. He seemed like a nice guy. He, you know, obviously is, you know, has his own set of baggage, but it happens, you know. It's the NFL. That's how it be sometimes. Regardless, it's it was an interesting conversation. I thought it was interesting to have him and Rondé back in the booth. It was a tough spot they were put in, because, like, you know, I think they would have done a little bit more interesting or a little bit better if they were, like, just talking at a practice or something where, like, there's not a game going on. Because you don't want to be like, we were talking about this before the show, you don't want to be disrespectful of preseason players, because, like, it's a preseason game, but for some of these guys, like, this is their shot, you know, like, this is their moment. So you don't want to take the attention away from them by just, like, yammering on. And I thought they did a pretty good job of that. But it's also, like, it's Rondae Barber and John Gruden. People might have tuned in to hear them talk a little bit more. So it's a hard balance to strike.
Yeah,
I think you're spot on. Like, I think that they did a good job at not making it about themselves.
But, right. Yeah. Because, like, that could have been annoying. That could have been, like, yuck.
Look, I loved Tom Brady for playing for Tampa. Appreciate you. But when Tom Brady's in the booth, I'm like,
oh, God, I can't stand him. Yeah.
Your playing career is over. I don't need to hear about how you threw for 400 yards 17 years ago.
Like, right.
I liked that they didn't make it about themselves, but also would have liked more about them, if that makes sense. Like what I was saying before was, I didn't even – if I hadn't heard it was Rondae Barber, I wouldn't have known it was Rondae Barber on the broadcast. You can't miss John Gruden's voice. Like, that's Gruden. Everyone knows his voice. But Rondae, like, until John was like, oh, yeah, when I was coaching you, you had a couple big plays like that. And you're like, oh, shoot, that is Rondae Barber hosting them.
I mean, it's tough. Like, you don't, you know, because Rondae does the preseason games. Like, he's the guy, and he's the other guy in the booth. It's usually him and the other play-by-play guy whose name, excuse me, unfortunately, I cannot remember. But, you know, when it's different. I mean, we talk about it on the show sometimes, like, having a two-man show versus a three-man show. Like, it can kind of be a little bit awkward sometimes. Like, you're, you know, butting in, or you don't, you know, it's not as much of a back-and-forth type of thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I did want to talk about the broadcast a little bit as well, because I guess some folks were having a little bit of an issue that it wasn't as fun as they made it out to be. I don't know. It's preseason. Like, who cares? I'm not really too concerned about it. Regardless, I thought the Baker comments were fun and interesting. And so we'll see. But there were some other Baker comments that were interesting from a practice they had with Jacksonville, where he said, hey, if this was a game today, we would have gotten our butts whooped, which probably true. Like, if Baker's always going to be honest, like, that is one of the things that I enjoy most about Baker Mayfield. Like, he does not mince words. Like, he is very, like, he says what he's feeling, for better or for worse. Sometimes it can be a little bit too much, but in this case, I thought it was very warranted. Like, it seemed like they had a bad practice and he let them know, which, hey, good for him. That's part of leadership. Is this anything to be concerned about, Zach, or are you kind of just like, it's a preseason practice, like, stuff happens?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go to Tyler first. I feel like I've been talking the whole show.
Oh, okay. You feel like you've been the John Gruden and he's been the Rondae Barber? Is that what you're saying?
Like, okay. He's the Rondae Barber, the prim and proper one over there.
Prim and proper.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. I don't think any of us have ever been called prim and proper, but that's very sweet of you.
Not my entire life.
Not a shot.
Tyler, I'll pass the ball to you, so to speak.
You know what? Fine. I'll talk first. Okay. I was very interested to hear what he had to say, especially because we saw, you know, Josh the other, you know, less.
Yeah, the other Josh Allen.
Less yes. cool Josh Allen.
Josh Hines Allen, I think. Yeah.
Joshua Hines Allen. What?
Yes.
Whatever. Nope. He's not Josh Allen. Right. He took to Twitter to, you know, make his remarks and tell his side. Yeah. Apparently, he was all over Luke Gedecky, according to the reporters as well, which is very interesting because I don't think of Joshua Hines Allen as, you know, particularly fun pass rusher to watch. Whatever. But it was also interesting because I saw plenty of clips of the Bucs defensive line completely outclassing the Jaguars offensive line.
Ooh, outclassing.
There was a video of Bob Hainsey, Bucs legend, getting just about steamrolled by Vita Vea, unsurprisingly.
Right. Bob Hainsey. Wow, you didn't even call him by his government name. You went with
Yeah,
Bob
no, he doesn't get the Robert. Government name anymore. He doesn't play for my team. And, you know, it was also very, you know, we saw a little bit of Reuben Bain. Obviously, he ended up getting injured during practice. But it looked like complete domination by both defensive lines if you took everybody's word for it.
Right.
And then today there were also some, you know, obviously we're talking about clips from Twitter, but there were quite a few reps where Ted Hurst had Travis Hunter pretty much in a blender. It sure seemed.
Yeah.
Completely blew by him a couple times.
For so, sure.
You know, you kind of have to take everybody's opinion with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of reporters especially complaining about their teams this training camp and how bad everybody looks. I think a Commanders beat reporter went pretty viral for saying that this is the worst the Commanders offense has looked in a decade, which is hilarious because you're completely forgetting, you know, the Taylor Heineke year.
Yeah.
But very.
Hey, you looked pretty good in that wild card game, you know.
He really did. 2020. You know what? I can't fault him for that. He just about took the eventual Super Bowl winners. He took us to the ropes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very funny. No, apparently the Dolphins looked really bad this week as well. So
it's the Dolphins.
Maybe everybody's just ready to get to the season. I think that might be part of it.
Yeah, I saw the Dolphins one. That was hilarious because Malik Willis apparently like had to bring everyone in.
Apparently that happened a couple times this week, which is even
funnier. Yeah, and Malik Willis had to give him a pep talk, and then they went and played even worse. And it was just like, oh, dang, that sucks. And that's not Malik Willis's fault because, like, you know, he's dealing with some...
He's actually a decent quarterback. It's just, you know, the
Dolphins. What are you going to do, man? Who's he throwing? You know, I genuinely cannot name a single
Jalen Waddle and, like...
No, Jalen Waddle's in Denver, brother.
You're right. Yeah. Wow.
Jalen Waddle's in Denver. It's
Tyreek Hill when he comes back.
He's a free agent. He's not.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's not under contract.
Okay, Braxton Berrios. That's all I got for you.
I think he's on the
track. I don't think. I didn't even know he was still playing. I thought he was retired.
I got nothing.
Yeah, regardless.
Is he still in the league? Is he still bouncing around?
I'm about to look it up right now.
Yeah, we can look it up. I know the USF football team's head coach was a Miami Dolphins receiver, Brian Hartline.
Yep.
Yeah, so, but yeah, no, unfortunately, I cannot name a single Dolphins wide receiver.
And Jarvis Landry, is he still bouncing around?
No, he is not. Oh, wow. Okay. Malik Washington. There we go. He's not bad. He's not bad.
I'm trying to think of people we know. Tutu Atwell.
Yeah.
Ryan Miller.
Okay. Yeah.
Jalen Reagor.
Yeah. Okay.
That's Jalen Reagor. Jalen Tolbert. He's on there.
I feel like.
Okay.
Did they not draft like Chris Bell or something like that in the draft?
Yeah, I was gonna say they've got their starters as of right now: Malik Washington, Jalen Tolbert, Caleb Douglas. Second string: Tutu Atwell, Chris Bell, Kevin Coleman Jr. And then you got Jalen Reagor, Terrace Marshall Jr., and Ryan Miller. Those are like that's to the third string.
So, that's brutal, man. That's brutal. Yeah. Not good. Not going well in Miami.
Devin Achane's gonna touch the rock 40 times a game. They're gonna make sure.
Yeah. Devin Achane, maybe he's RB1 in fantasy. I don't know. But yeah, he's gonna have to be. Regardless, yeah, the Dolphins look bad. A lot of teams look bad. I'm kind of with you, Tyler. I think I just draw this up as sort of like a, you know, it's going to happen. It's preseason practices. Like, there's not really much stock you should put into this. But, Zach, have any other final thoughts on the little skirmish, if you can even call it that, or the little war of words?
No, I mean, yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I'm excited that Baker's speaking his mind.
Yeah, for sure.
I do think that it could hurt you in the long run if you like. That's just Baker's personality. We've known that since we signed him. Like he's gonna be that guy. But in a contract year, maybe we we dial it back a little bit.
I think of all the things he could talk about, of all the things that he's done that have been a little bit Baker-y, shall we say, this is probably one of the more harmless ones because it's like, hey, if your quarterback's telling you you played like crap, then just play better, you know, like just practice better. Like there's, you know, it's not like he's saying this because he's also said that he thinks they could, you know, surprise some people in the context of like maybe they could go to the Super Bowl. So like clearly he thinks very highly of this team, as he should. Like that's what you're supposed to do as a leader. Like that's what you're supposed to do. If you don't believe that, then you shouldn't be, you know, playing in the NFL. Like you shouldn't be the quarterback of an NFL team. But yeah, regardless, it's Baker being Baker, but also like in a good way, I think, in this case. But I do agree. Like it is towing that line, you know, it is doing the Baker thing, which like you said can sometimes hurt him, but we'll see. I thought it was a little fun caveat, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see if there are any more preseason practice dust-ups or anything like that. But I wanted to end the episode with a little bit of a fun topic. Some areas of the team that y'all are excited about or most concerned about. So I wanted to start with the excited portion, or we can just do both. Let's just do both. The area of the team that you're most excited about, area team that you're most concerned about. I'll lead it off. I'm most excited, and I think, Tyler, I might steal this one from you. I'm most excited about the defensive line just because, like, it might be the best it's been in a long time. So I'm kind of excited to see what they got. Like, it could come crashing to the ground. Reuben Bain's short arms could come back to bite him. Kalijah Kansi could get hurt again. Maybe, you know, Yaya Diaby takes a step back in his contract here. David Walker's back. All those things could happen, but also all the opposite could happen, and they could have, like, low-key one of the best defensive lines in the NFC, where it's like, oh, crap, like, this is actually really fun to watch. So that's probably the group I'm most excited about. The group I'm most concerned about, I don't know. I mean, it's easy to say the cornerback room. Like, that's probably going to be all of our answers. But instead, I'm going to say the safety room just because the backup – because we'll talk about the cornerbacks ad nauseum. That's my real answer. But I wanted to bring up the safety room because after Antoine Winfield Jr. and Tyke Smith, I genuinely don't know. You know, like, I don't know who they have lined up back there. So if one of them gets hurt
– or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It's – that's what I mean, you know, like it's brutal. So I think the safety room, I mean, I guess you could say the secondary in general, but I'm going to stick with the safeties where like their backups, I don't know what happens if one of them gets hurt. So obviously knock on wood, hopefully that doesn't happen, but yeah, it's looking rough back there. But Zach, what are your answers to these two questions?
Most excited for, I think wide receiver is kind of an easy one because we do have young guys that I'm like excited to see them get full seasons under their belt, like Jalen.
Ted Hurst, your favorite player.
Yeah, I love Ted Hurst so much. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm more excited to see Jalen McMillan after a full year of recovery and a full off season of recovery, I should say, I guess. Tez Johnson off to a hot start. Emeka, if he can stop dropping the ball, like there's a lot of what ifs in the wide receiver room. What ifs sounds bad. Like, I think they're more proven than what ifs, but like,
there's a lot of potential there.
But there we go. There we go. That's a better word. There's a lot of high ceilings in that room, I think, and I'm excited to see who steps up. Most worried. I mean, you nailed it on the head. I think it's corner, but also middle linebacker or inside linebacker. Alex Anzalone is the only proven one. We got Trotter coming in. It's like, is he going to be good in coverage? He looks really good in the preseason, especially in run defense, but another what if kind of a deal. Like, I think he could be good. Are we going to keep Servassier Tennis? Is he going to stay again? Chris Bradwell, he plays outside, but he's probably gone. So it's like, that position is kind of shallow if you think about it. We've got Trotter and Anzalone, and then we're looking at Servassier, you're looking at Christian Rosenboom,
like, John Bullock,
exactly. So it's, you know, I'm gonna change it from corner to that actually.
Now, fair enough. Yeah,
there's been some guys in the preseason so far that have really impressed me at corner.
Hey, and Pepe Williams is fun.
Garns, like there's some fun ones. I think have a legitimate shot at playing some time in the NFL, not just being backups. So my hopes are not as low as I thought they were going into this season.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think corner has a little bit more depth, but I do think that the upside of the linebacker room is higher because Trotter could, you know, he could struggle. Like you said, coverage could be really bad, but man, he's already so good in run defense. He's already such a good blitzer that even if he's just like average in coverage, and it would be such a massive upgrade from what they had last year, that it would be huge. It would be massive. And I know Servacio Dennis is bad. He's not a good linebacker. As a linebacker three or a linebacker four, you could do worse. You know, I shouldn't say you could do worse because that's putting, you know, I know. We'll see.
So that's where I guess my concern is, because I do fully agree with you. The ceiling is much higher in the inside linebacker room, but it's really only higher for one player.
Like, right. That's a good point.
Anzalone is exactly what we're getting. Like, we know what we're getting in him.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Trotter is the only guy that we're like, he could be really, really good.
Yeah.
But he could be really, really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the good news is he got a safe enough floor.
He'll always have value as a run defender. Like, he's a great defender. Hazel, chill out. But it's, again, just goes into the, I think that there's more upside in the cornerback room for more players. Let me put it that way.
Sure, yeah. Parrish, Scott, and Morrison all have the potential to be very good.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I feel you. No, that's not a bad take at all. I definitely understand that. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes there. Tyler, real quick, did you have any positions that you're excited or concerned with?
I mean, I have all the same concerns about the defensive backfield I think the rest of us do, just because they can't seem to stay healthy. Half of them play nickel, even though you only play one nickel at a time.
Right.
I'm very curious to see how that works out.
Yeah.
But most excited, I think I'm going to go with the boring answer, which is the offensive line.
Ooh, I love it. Thank you. I'm glad one of us took the answer. Good.
I hate to be that guy, but
yeah,
you know, it's been a full season since we saw them all five together.
I know. Yeah. I think
it's probably a top five group in the NFL when they are all healthy.
When they're all healthy. Yeah. I agree.
If
they're all
pretty rare these days. They literally did not play a single snap together.
No, yeah. Mauch was hurt off rip
the first four games, and Cody Mauch went down in week two. So
yeah.
Very, so it's, very curious to see how good they look this year. It would be a blessing if Graham Barton took a leap. I think that would, you know, catapult them into the top three offensive line.
Yeah. The thing is, like, with Mauch out there, he was a solid center his rookie season. Last year, he was really bad because he had to play left tackle as well. And
he wasn't very good his rookie year, was he?
I don't know. I'm trying to, you know.
I thought he was
torn by his own doing.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I'm hopeful that he can make a little bit of a leap just because Cody Mauch is really good, so it eases some of the burden. But I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I'm trying to be optimistic here. I'm trying to put lipstick on a pig here, but you know, that's how it be sometimes. But I don't know. We'll see. I do agree that when healthy, this group can be one of the best in the NFL, just because Luke Adeke and Tristan Wirfs by themselves, like, make it a really high group. And then you add in Cody Mauch too.
It blows really my impressive. Mind that after Gadecki's like first year, we were talking about cutting him.
Yeah.
I
remember it vividly, us having conversations about, I think it's time to let go of Gadecki, and then they switch him to tackle, and he just, dude, it's.
He is a solid top 10 right tackle. I don't know that he's quite top five, but man, he's very good. Like, he is a very good player at that position, and people immediately gravitate towards the blind side blocker. Like, the left tackle gets all the attention, and rightfully so. Like, it's the the more important position and all that stuff. But right tackles are super important too. Like, that's not to diminish anything what they're doing. And Luke Adeke is a good one. So yeah, definitely agree. I'm really excited about that group as well. So a lot to be excited about for the Bucs this year. They could win the division. They could, you know, have a really good year. But even if they don't, that means that they'll have to make some changes and Todd Bowles will get fired, much to the chagrin of many, or much to the joy of many Bucs fans, I'm sure. So Mr. Blaine being one of them. So we'll see how it goes. But we'll be back next week, minus Mr. Blaine. But we will still be here to talk about the Bucs' week 3 preseason game Talk about any massive takeaways, because that's where you're supposed to draw the big conclusions, is week three of the preseason. You know, you're going to be all the hot takes. No, I'm just kidding. But regardless, we'll still be here to break it down, talk about any other news happenings. We'll see if there's any Sean Tucker news or if that's just blast, you know, just blah. But regardless, we'll be back. Thank you all for tuning in. Hit that like and subscribe button on the way out. We'll see y'all next week. But until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.